KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. A new report shows that Alaska seafood now tops the list of favorite protein items at restaurants around the country. The massive Northern Edge military exercise begins May 1st, and the Navy finalizes its plans for training in the northern Gulf of Alaska. It's good for you, and it could be the next big seafood product. We're talking about kelp. And finally, yet another giant squid has turned up in Unalaska. We'll have those stories and more coming up on this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska seafood now tops the list of all other protein brands on the menus of 500 national restaurant chains, besting Angus beef, Kobe beef, and Louisiana seafood. And research shows that 94% of diners are more likely to order a seafood dish when the word Alaska is on the menu. That's the takeaway from the 2016 annual report of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The Alaska seafood brand had been sitting at the number two spot for popular brands for several years. ASME announced the breakthrough at the top spot this week. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
The ASME report is filled with user-friendly information about Alaska's seafood industry and how it plays out at home and around the world. Here's a sampler. About 60,000 people, mostly Alaska residents, work in the state's seafood industry, making it the biggest private sector job producer in the state. More than half are fishermen, operating 8,600 vessels and delivering their catches to 176 processing plants around the state. One-third of Alaska's resident commercial fishermen live in Anchorage and the South Central region, more than any other region of the state. Pollock is still Alaska's biggest catch, topping 3 billion pounds last year. Salmon came in as the most valuable catch, however, topping $540 million. China is the number one export customer for Alaska seafood, followed by Japan, Europe, Canada, and lately, Brazil.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you, in part, by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
The U.S. Navy has pinned down what the naval exercises in the Gulf of Alaska will look like for the next few years. And the new plan reflects input from Gulf of Alaska communities and tribal entities. Kayla DeRoche has details from Kodiak.
The Navy conducts a supplemental environmental impact statement every 5 years, and after consultation with the public, tribes, and state governmental agencies, it settled on alternative one. The other two options were a no-change alternative, where the exercises would be consistent with the last 5 years, and alternative two, which includes two vessel sinking exercises a year and twice as many exercises as alternative one. That's according to Alex Stone, project manager for the Gulf of Alaska Environmental Impact Statement.
The alternative two is two exercises per year. So if this is 5 years based on the alternative, that would be 10 exercises over 5 years. Alternative one is one every year, so that's five exercises.
Stone says alternative two was the Navy's preferred alternative in the EIS, but the Assistant Secretary of the Navy chose alternative one.
Alternative one would provide the coverage for the activities that we plan to do there and flexibility if we were going to do more exercises, because as I mentioned, it covers one each year, and what we're currently doing is one every other year.
He says it also reflects input from the public. Alternative 1 puts a hold on the use of explosives in the Porlock Bank area as requested by the Shunack tribe and other tribal entities, and prohibits the use of sonar and explosives between June and September in the North Pacific Right Whale Cautionary Area. The supplemental EIS identifies Porlock Bank as a fishing area and says while the Navy hasn't seen any evidence of a negative impact on fish or fishing activity, the Navy has talked with tribes and, quote, affirmed, unquote, they won't use explosives in the area. The Shunack Tribe of Kodiak's Natural Resources Department Director Tom Lance says the tribe sat down for a consultation with Navy representatives in 2015 before that year's military exercise, Northern Edge. He says they gave the Navy a list of requirements for continued operations in the Gulf of Alaska, and it had more than half a dozen demands. Lance says after that meeting ended, they spoke with Stone and emphasized the importance of protecting Porlock Bank.
There's some really interesting biology and chemistry going on there, and we'd like to see that whole northern section of that TMAA lopped off and to protect that area.
The exclusion of explosives was the compromise. Lance calls the supplemental EIS a start.
They have spent a lot of money and a lot of time, and we have spent a lot of time and a little bit of money trying to encourage them to work with us to answer all of our questions. And I think by them not choosing the preferred alternative is a demonstration that they heard us.
Northern Edge 2017 starts next week. Stone says the Navy's involvement in this year's set of exercises is more limited than in previous years, and that the Navy is sending two ships in addition to a replenishment ship. He says this is the first year the Navy will comply with the new guidelines under Alternative 1.
Kelp and other aquatic plants sustain a multi-billion-dollar industry throughout Asia, and more Americans are adding the sea veggies to their diets. Kelp also is widely used in foods and beverages, animal feeds, cosmetics, and, coming soon, biofuels. Alaska seaweed got a shout-out a few years back when researchers at North Carolina State University found the common ones found in waters and beaches near Sitka are super packed with compounds that fight obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Alaska's mariculture industry is in its infancy compared to other regions of the world, but it has the potential to be much larger, maybe worth as much as $1 billion in 3 decades. Mark Shear is a board member on the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. He discussed his organization's hopes for mariculture at a recent meeting of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more from Sitka.
Shear's message was straightforward. There's money to be made.
The plan, the vision that we decided is to create a billion-dollar industry in 30 years. Now, it sounds like a big target and high aspirations, but when you think about the amount of area suitable for mariculture in Alaska, it's really not that high of a target. For example, there are about 35,000 miles of coastline in Alaska. If we developed 1% of that coastline and utilized it for producing various species, whether it be oysters or mussels or kelp or things like that, then it has the production capacity to exceed the rest of the continental United States. So that's about 450,000 acres total in the state. It's a fairly small area by percentage and total. But the production capacity, because we have such wonderful resources, we have such wonderful clean water, and we have so much existing infrastructure, it's entirely attainable.
Shear stressed the importance of the state's existing infrastructure in ramping up mariculture. Seafood plants are idle during the winter months when the processing of some mariculture products is needed. There is freezing capacity, transportation, and access to markets. Shear called mariculture the low-hanging fruit of economic opportunity in Alaska. He said that worldwide, the harvest of kelp was a $20 billion industry and showed a video of kelp farmers in Maine who were marketing kelp as the new kale.
Kelp is put in September and harvested in April. I think in reality, the conflict for that space is going to be pretty minimal, number one. And number two, we're not... relative to the amount of area, we're not talking about covering every coastline with kelp farms.
The state legislature created the system for mariculture leasing in 1988, and Scheer described its status now as a cottage industry.
The potential for it as another economic development opportunity for the state is, for whatever reason, is now much more on the radar. I think it's in no small part because of the realities of the Alaska budget situation, and you've got to look to build opportunities. There isn't a timber industry. I think a lot of the resource extraction industries are having a difficult time due to any number of different reasons. And this is an industry that is supplemental to what currently exists and is, frankly, pretty environmentally friendly.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The novelty of seeing a jumbo squid earlier this month in Unalaska is not wearing off. In fact, you could say the novelty level doubled this week when a second one washed ashore Monday night. David Tonin of the U.S. Coast Guard was excited to check it out. He's never seen anything like it.
I've seen little squid and, squid we use for bait and stuff, and squid at aquariums and when I was diving down in the Caribbean, but nothing that big. I mean, the thing had to have weighed 50 pounds or so, probably more.
This latest squid, which we will call squid number 2, is bigger than squid number 1, which turned up on a beach on April 10th. Tonin is 6 feet tall and estimates that squid number 2 is about 10 feet long. At this point, it's unclear if the two dead squids are an unrelated coincidence or if they're a sign of something more significant. Squid number 1 was tentatively ID'd as a robust clubhook squid. Unalaska is in the middle of its natural range, which stretches from Southern California to the Gulf of Alaska through the Aleutian Islands. But it is pretty rare to see a robust clubhook squid in the wild. The species of squid number 2 has not yet been reported.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KUCB's Zoe Zobel in Unalaska, KCAW's Robert Woolsey in Sitka, KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch in Kodiak, and Kayla DeRoche here in Kodiak at KMXT. As always, a big thank you to everyone who helps make this program possible each week, especially you, our listeners. If you weren't listening, I'd be talking to myself. From KMXT in Kodiak, I am Maggie Wall.